Okay, let's get back to this topic of the intention, it would seem, very strong intention of SA Tourism using public funds to sponsor the English football team, the English Premier League team, Tottenham Hotspur. The aim is to boost interest in South African tourism, but is this money well spent? Let's continue the conversation very much from a tourism point of view, and welcome to 702 Drive, David Frost, who is CEO of South African Tourism, of the South African Tourism Services Association. Mr. Frost, thank you so much for your time. Same question as I put to our previous guest, Neil Jankelowitz. When you first heard about this, and it's possible that you heard about it before we did, he's gone. Lots to consider, but David Frost is back. Mr. Frost, welcome, and thanks again for your time. When you first heard about this proposed investment in a sponsorship of Tottenham Hotspur, did you go, great idea, brilliant, or did you go, or worse?
Hi, John. Yeah, good to be with you and your listeners. So let's just, at the first instance, just say that this is still to be confirmed. So
right.
I'm talking in a hypothetical sense now. If this was in fact true and the amounts of money and the proportion of the budget being sucked up into this are correct. I mean, my gut response, and it's been echoed by a lot of my members contacting me today, is from a private sector point of view, we would be stretched to see a return on investment in marketing in this particular fashion. It's also, our big gripe, John, around tourism and how we market and how we do things is we operate in absolute silence.
Yes.
There is no collaboration. What should happen is you should have a proper structured engagement where the best minds in the private sector are engaged. I'm talking here at a tactical,
right,
tactical level when we start doing this thing. This is totally separate to the board of SAT, which I think obviously needs to function and be appointed by government, and one's not seeking to interfere at that level. What we are talking about is how we actually do things practically. And the private sector, SAT Tourism's budget's around 1.2 billion. If you add up all the money the private sector spends, we outspend them probably 10, 20 to 1.
Yes.
Why don't we do what the Australians do? And that is, let us strategize at inception and then execute together.
Yes.
And then we can say, do we think this is a good idea? Yes, no, maybe. And these conversations can actually run their course.
So
I do think it's useful that this has actually been ventilated, publicly. And I welcome the debate in this, because we don't often have the opportunity to actually sort of discuss these things.
In defense of this, people have pointed, for example, to Rwanda sponsorship of Arsenal. I think it goes back 3 years. There's been a renewal, and this was opened up when the Premier League a few years ago allowed branding on shirt sleeves. So you could come in at a cheaper level than being the main shirt sponsor. But it seems to me, surely, that Rwanda and South Africa are very, very different, in that Rwanda, I think, is newly branding itself as a tourism destination, the popularity of seeing gorillas notwithstanding, whereas South Africa is an established brand facing challenges and stiff competition. Does it make a difference, those two very different scenarios, in my mind?
No, absolutely, John. I think you're spot on. I think that we don't suffer from a lack of awareness. I think the world is very aware of South Africa. Unfortunately, through a whole lot of self-inflicted own goals coming out of the Zuma era, state capture, load shedding, you can call it, there are a whole lot of issues that have tarnished our brand. And on top of it, we have some real issues around safety and security. So we have high awareness that we have a low conversion factor. And we should be tackling issues that help us raise our conversion factor. I think the jury is still out. And in fact, when you look at countries like Rwanda, I think Malta have also tried it.
Yes.
Having great awareness doesn't always just translate into increased tourism leisure arrivals. So, you know, one, and you know, the UK is our biggest market. We need to look at that. You know, where we need growth, John, is in the two big emerging markets in the world, and that is China and India.
Yes.
Collectively, they only account for 6% of our arrivals, whereas Europe and North America account for 77% of our arrivals. But, you know, the point I just want to re-emphasize is, you know, if there's any lesson to be learned out of this,
yes,
is let us set up a proper structured engagement, and this is about, you know, meetings that are minuted.
Yes, yes. Decisions made.
We can work together and not have to sort of comment on the group reeling from press reports.
Thank you so much, David Frost, CEO of the South African Tourism Services Association. Again, my question. Let's focus on South Korea. Anyone involved in trying to bring tourists from South Korea, or you may just have friends who you've met, people who are either in South Korea or are South Korean nationals, how difficult is it to get here, to get a visa and all those kinds of things? Because that's where we're going to start seeing what the likelihood is of what David Frost called the conversion factor.